Good morning. Today's daf in the Beis Zohar, Samech Tes. We are on Samech Tes Amud Beis. The mouse got loose and the mouse fell into the beer, and it's not that appetizing. And as a vendor, I probably wouldn't want to tell my customers that this in fact happened. But the Gemara's focus really is on the question of Nosan Talmud of Gam. Nosan Talmud of Gam now, which has been a pretty consistent discussion in the Gemara now for the last 2 days. And the Gemara now is going to discuss it just a little bit more in the beginning of today's daf, the end of yesterday's daf. And that's the question of Nosan Talmud of Gam, when an ingredient that's added to the dish is not making a positive benefit, but making a detrimental impact on the dish. So then what is the halacha regarding its taste, its detrimental taste? And this is a discussion slash debate in the Gemara in the last number of days. Most of the opinions, and we're going to see this very clearly in the Gemara that we're about to start, most of the opinions is that Nosan Talmud of Gam is mutter, that if what it's contributing is a detrimental taste, so then it's a taste that in halacha we simply do not need to regard. That means to say that even though the taste is usur, but still, because it's not making a contribution, it's not making an improvement, so therefore we can just simply disregard it. And this is, we'll see in just a moment, this is going to be the Gemara's conclusion. And so when the rat falls into the beer, so it is not making a positive contribution, and therefore it should be mutter. However, we were a little bit confused yesterday when the question came in front of Rav. So Rav says that the beer is usser. The Rav said the beer is usser, so it was a head scratcher. We didn't know why Rav said the beer was usser. It's Nosan Talmud of Gam. So does he hold Nosan Talmud of Gam as usser? That's a possibility, but the Gemara entertained yesterday another possibility with Rav as well, and that is that maybe rats are fundamentally different. Meaning, the Torah told us that we're not allowed to eat a rat. None of us are interested, right? In other words, it's disgusting. So what the Gemara described yesterday is a chiddush. It's a chiddush HaTorah, where the Torah says to us not to eat rats. We don't have any natural inclination to eat rats, so it seems a little bit strange. So maybe this is what the Gemara entertained yesterday as a possibility within Rav. So maybe when the Torah says that rats are usher, means rats are usher even if the taste is disgusting, still, that taste is going to be usher. So maybe that could be what's behind the opinion of Rav. That's a possibility. And then the Gemara noted yesterday that in some locations, rats are a delicacy. So the Gemara made a distinction yesterday. This is where we ended up yesterday. That it depends. Habadabra, habadamasa. The rat that you find in the city. So that's disgusting. That's Nosan Talmud of Gam. But there are rats in Achinami, out in the wilderness, which are more of a delicacy.
Well, Rashi actually says
Ekuvei,
which is a squirrel.
Yeah, right. I saw that in Rashi. It's a squirrel. Rashi describes it as a squirrel. Okay, squirrels are delicacies? I also don't know.
I've seen a lot of strange
things. Okay, that's right. That's right. Amar Rava. Okay, so this is where we pick it up. This is exactly where we left off yesterday. 4 lines from the bottom on Samaches Amud Beis. Amar Rava Hilchos Nosan Talmud of Gam Mutter. So Rava says, look, as far as the conclusion is concerned, so we're going to side with the position that Nosan Talmud of Gam is going to be Mutter. And Vachbar B'shichu Lo Yidon My Time of the Rav. And now Rava just simply comments, look, I know a couple generations earlier there was an incident with a rat falling into beer, and I know Rav said that it was usser. And Rava says, I really don't know. I don't know why Rav said that the beer is going to be usher. So one possibility is that Rav subscribes to the opinion Nosan Talmud of Gam is usher. We don't subscribe to that position, but that could be. Maybe Rav generally holds Nosan Talmud of Gam is mutter. So why was he machmer when it came to the case of the beer and the rat? The rat and the beer. So maybe Rav feels that it wasn't a negative contribution, but maybe the rat was making some sort of enhanced flavor within the beer. Maybe. Okay, so, but Rav says, really, quite frankly, I don't know, but it could be. Ibai Lahu. Navago Chalamai. So the Gemara now entertains one other question, and that is, instead of the rat falling into beer, rat falls now into vinegar. Vinegar, obviously, is much more acidic. And vinegar really has such a strong flavor to it that the Gemara now is going to take into consideration maybe the interaction between the rat and the vinegar may be different than the interaction between the rat and the beer. So nafal go chalamai. What if that rat fell into fell into vinegar? So amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi Abba Uvda Bei Rav Kahana V'Asa Rav Kahana. So he says, oh, look, this actually happened. Once again, back then, I guess they didn't have enough pest control, but the rat fell into the vinegar, and they came to Rav Kahana. Now Rav Kahana, by the way, was a student of Rav, so it kind of works out well that Rav, in the case of the beer, said that Sasser, and Rav Kahana said he also was machmer. So Amar Leh, so he says to him as follows. Okay, so I know that Rav Kahana was machmer, but hahu imratute imratet. So he says, yeah, but you understand though that that case is a little bit different. And I'm going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Imratute imrate. This is a very interesting Rashi, a big chiddush that Rashi here advances. The second line in the Rashi's imratute imrate lechatichos dachos ketanos. So Rashi writes that what happens is as follows: when the rat falls into the vinegar, because of the potency of the vinegar, the strength of the vinegar, the rat now starts to dissolve and but not liquefy, but basically come into pieces. Right, chatichos dakos. So basically, what you have, and I know this is unappetizing. I think we, you know, that's an obvious point. But the rat now is broken up into tiny little pieces, and all around the vinegar. Meaning, if it were just a question of tom and the taste that's imparted from the rat into the vinegar, so that could be negated. That could be negated because you have, quite frankly, just much more vinegar than you have the rat. Or it can be negated because of the principle of nos and tam of gam. But whatever the case is, meaning if it was just tam, so then we would be more makel. But what the Gemara now is arguing, explains Rashi, is that it's not just a question of tam. There are actual physical pieces of the rat that are now floating around in the vinegar. And so therefore, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be consuming pieces of the rat. Now here comes the excitement within Rashi and the chiddush within Rashi. And Rashi then goes on to write, and I'm reading inside, Visheretz isuro becha adasha kitumaso. Rashi writes that when it comes to the consumption of a sheretz, how much sheretz do you need to eat in order to be liable for achila sheretz? So Rashi writes over here, bicha adasha, the amount of a lentil, the piece of a lentil. Now, why is Rashi interesting over here? Because Rashi is right that that's a shear, but what is that the shear for? That's not the shear for achila, that's the shear for tumah. Meaning when we say that one of the shmona shvatim, any one of the eight rats, rodents, bugs, that are recorded in the Torah, where a piece of its nevela were to give off tumah. So throughout Shas we say that you don't need a big piece of it, you don't need a very small piece of it. It's becha adasha, it's the size of a lentil bean. So over here what Rashi's doing is he's taking the shear regarding tumah and he's now moving it over to the world of achila. And Rashi's saying that if I eat an adasha's worth of sheretz, so you're also going to be liable as well. Why is Rashi so interesting? Because the Gemara never says this. Meaning the Gemara, throughout Shas, always talks about Tumah being the shear of an Adasha, but the Gemara never says that Achila is that of an Adasha. So Rashi over here, super interesting, big Chiddush, that he translates the shear of Tumah over to the shear of Achila, and then Rashi goes on to say, V'chayshin d'ma boleh chaticho sheretz v'hadichometz. And now that the shear that we're operating with is such a smaller shear, all you need to do is eat just an Adasha's worth of this rat, and one is going to be liable, one's going to be chayef. So that is Rashi over here in explaining our Gemara. As I pointed out, the biggest difficulty with Rashi is that Rashi is taking a shear of tumah and moving it over to achila. Another challenge of Rashi, which again, this has all been discussed before. I'm just going over the basics. Another simple question that the Rishonim ask on Rashi is that, even if the shear of achila was a kazayis, meaning let's move it to where most consider the shear to be. Even if the shear is a kazayis, I'm not allowed to eat any piece of the sheretz. Meaning even chatzi kazayis, even a fraction of a kazayis. In other words, we have the rule that we learned together in Yuma, chatzi shear osam in a Torah. So if you're eating any piece of the rat, so you're going to be, you may not get malchus, but it's still osir. And granted, by the way, chatzi shear osam in a Torah is a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish and the Gemara and Yuma. And generally we do follow like Rav Yochanan, and that's osam in a chatzi shear is osam in a Torah. But even according to Reish Lakish, it's still osam in the Rabbanan. Okay, anyway. So a number of interesting points regarding Rashi. Before we go further in the Gemara, also another piece of excitement over here on the Daf, and that is Tosos. Tosos ha'oim imrutute imrate. Yeshlit Mo Achshav. Toso says, I got a question. And not one raised by the Gemara, but one after learning the Gemara, you have to ask. And that is, Hech Anu Ochlim Devash Devarim. You know, we eat bee honey. Okay? It's a Not only do we do it, but Minhag Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah time, so everyone has bee honey. So we eat it. V'halo raglei ha-dvarim mu'uravim bidvash. So what you're going to find is that when the bees are producing their honey, so the legs of the bees sometimes fall, often fall into the honey. And so remember the Gemara just ruled that when it comes to the consumption of beer, if there are pieces of the rat that are in the beer, you're not allowed to drink the beer because you're going to be consuming some of the rat. So the tam of the rat, the taste of the rat is, we could say, mutter because of nos and tam of gum. But if we're talking about pieces of the rat, so then you're not allowed to drink the beer. By the way, I said beer. Every time I said beer, just, you know, edit it and put vinegar in. But okay, in other words, but you can't eat pieces of the rat. So Tosa says, so if it's true that with the honey that's produced by the bee, so sometimes the bees leave some of their legs along. Now, exactly what happens, the legs grow back, I don't really know, but in any event, right? But anyway, but some of the legs are floating around in the honey, and so how are we eating the honey? The alpha gav dehave pigam, become a kamasher tatsmo diifka mitzel chaleama. And so Tosos over here articulates the question beautifully. I don't understand, says Tosos. Meaning, you're right. In other words, the taste of the legs, the ta'am that comes off of the bee, that's fine. That's also in Talmud Gam, that's fine. But you're not allowed to eat actual bee parts, much like the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat pieces of the rat. So l'chein ir l'rebi t'tam, devad ragla dvarim kevan, da'atzmas ba'amaninu, mutarim da'at, samas taharim dinam b'meseches, we have over here taharos, it should be yadayim, but either way, atzmas ha'chamar taharos, v'ragla dvarim katzmas ha'chamar. So Rabbeinu Tam is a really interesting way to look at it, and that is that the legs of the bees are considered like bones, meaning that what we're prohibited from eating when it comes to shratzim is the flesh of the sheretz. But once something is no longer once something is not considered a flesh, it's not considered like the basar of the animal, and it's just the etzem of the animal. So that's okay, says Rabbeinu Tam. So v'hadamina v'var meinlam shira afilu pachas mechazais min ameis upachas mechadash min asheret zainal inyan tuma. Now, yes, you're going to find other gemaras that talk about the bones of a sheretz and the bones of a mace, but that's only as it relates to the iser of tuma, meaning it's not iser v'heter, it's tuma tahara. Ukegon diika basi lave halav hachitara n'inyan achila shapidami. But in terms of consumption, so Tosu says it's fine. And then, the next part of this Tosfos, which is the unwritten part of the Tosfos, is that nowadays what we figured out is that we could take the bones of animals, so grind it up and we turn it into gelatin. And so, a lengthy discussion, a generational discussion now, a number of generations, in terms of whether or not that's fine. Meaning, can you take now bones and make a food out of it, otherwise known as gelatin. So that is the next, that's the next step of Tosfos, not for our discussion. We're more interested in the daf. But that's what makes this Tosfos very exciting.
Rabbi, what about fluids? You know,
as the rat is
disintegrating, part of this,
yes, it's really.
You can always almost see the cloud coming from the piece.
I hear you.
I mean, the
Gemara, when it's talking about taste, look, the way Rashi described taste a couple dapim ago, taste is basically anything that comes forth in a liquid form. So the fluids that come out of it, from Rashi's perspective, that's tamo v'lo mamasha. That's taste. That still falls under the category of taste. And again, Nosin Talmud Chacham tells me that if it's not making a positive contribution, so it's mutter. It's certainly, I mean, without speaking halachically, it's certainly unappetizing. Meaning, it's certainly something that, you know, most people I would say are just simply not interested in. But in terms of halacha, so it's just taste. It falls under the category of taste. That's certainly what I'm saying very confidently is certainly within Rashi. Okay, anyway, let's continue in the Gemara, the Ravina. We are three lines down on Samach Tesamad Aleph, Ravina Sava L'Sha'uri B'Meya. So over here now we're talking about, once again, the rat falling into the vinegar. Now, let's go over what we all know, but just to make sure that we really appreciate these next lines of Gemara. We all know that when something is imparting a taste into another food, and when I say something, I mean something which is us there. And it imparts a taste into another food. So at what point in time now am I allowed to eat that mixture? Only when the taste becomes so overpowered by the volume, the amount that it fell into, so that I no longer taste it. In other words, what I'm describing over here is min b'she'eino mino, when I have one item fall into another item of dissimilar tastes, and it's lach b'lach, in other words, and it's a nice, even distribution. So what's the ratio that I need in order to create bito? So shishin. In other words, 1 to 60. So once you have a ratio of one part iser to 60 or greater of heter, So then we know that that is bitter, that results in a negation of the taste, and that is generally speaking throughout halacha. In order to get to the point of bitter, of min b'shein amino, you need shishim. What the Gemara now is contemplating is the following. We're talking about vinegar. Vinegar is very strong. On the other hand, we're also talking about a rat. A rat also makes a contribution. So maybe the ratios change a little bit as it relates to a rat and vinegar. Ravina savar l'shiur b'me'ev echad. So Ravina said, you know what, over here, I think the ratio should be 100 to 1. So amar lo gara mi truma d'nan truma ola b'chad me'me'ev. So he says it really should be no different than truma. Truma, the ratio of bittul when it comes to truma is 100 to 1. Now here you get to really show off your understanding of bittul if you begin to appreciate Tosus's question over here. Tosus over here says, it's a really strange comparison, that we are talking about the shear of truma at 100 to 1, and maybe we should translate that ratio over to our discussion of beer falling into vinegar. Tosus writes, Tosus divra maskal sever l'shuri b'kuf aleph. Amar logar mitruma, Tosus says, Tema, nehi de truma nenu kishu b'kadera b'davar lach b'tela b'shishim k'damar perikid anasha. When you're talking about a tam issue, even by truma, you only need a ratio of 60 to 1. Meaning if the only thing I'm being mevatel is the tam hadavar, is a taste for taste, it's consistently throughout Shas a ratio of 60 to 1. The ratio of 100 to 1 as it relates to truma is yavish be yavish. If I have dry foods that get mixed up with one another, meaning it's not like one food is imparting its taste into another, but literally, 90 apples which are non-truma, one apple which is truma, they all get mixed together. So yavish be yavish, there I need a ratio of 100 to 1. But if we're just talking about taste being imparted, so I don't need a shear of 60 to 1. Sorry. I don't need a shear of 100 to 1. I only need a shear of 60 to 1. So really, if you're understanding Tosus' question, you're really understanding that the comparison that's made in the Gemara is a very strange comparison, where we're comparing the ratio of truma 100 to 1 to our discussion over here, when our discussion is a discussion of taste, not a discussion of just simple mixtures of what in halacha is referred to as yavish b'yavish. So Amalei Rav Tichlifa, back to the Gemara. Amalei Rav Tichlifa bar Giza l'Ravina dama ketavlin shel truma b'kder dame de la batal tamayu. Well, if you're comparing it to truma, you know that when it comes to spices, we're going to see this again, maybe not in Avodah Zarah, but certainly in Chulin. We're going to see that when it comes to spices, so what's the ratio of bitter when it comes to spices? The ratio is never. Meaning that's the whole idea behind spices. Spices impart such a taste. They're so potent. That's the whole idea behind spices. Right? Take a spoonful of pepper, put it into a dish. You'll be tasting it. So when it comes to spices, so what's the shear? The shear is no shear. Meaning it imparts a flavor. So why don't you say that? So Rav Achai shear bechala bechamishim. The Gemara now quotes other opinions. So Rav Achai says the shear is 1 to 50. Rav Shmuel bereid Rav Ika shear b'shichra b'shisin. When it comes to beer, it's 1 to 60. V'hilchasa, idiv idiv b'shisin. Finally, the Gemara concedes, despite all these opinions that we just learned together, the shear is going to be 60. V'chein kol yisrim shibatara. And that is a standard. It's a uniform rule throughout Shas that whenever you have taste being imparted, so the shear is going to be shishim. In order to negate the taste, it needs to be, you need to have a ratio of 1 to 60. One part iser, imparting taste into 60 parts heter, then the taste gets negated. Anything short of that, and it's going to be, and you can taste it, and therefore it's going to be aser. This is right. This is only when imparting taste. Correct. There is, once again, one more Rashi for today. I know there's a lot more Rashis today, but one more Rashi today, which is notable. And Rashi over here, v'chein kol isra shebetorah. Rashi writes, b'shishim v'chein alacha ravachas b'Yisrael, demin b'shein amina b'shishim. So when I have dissimilar tastes, meaning I have a blending of one taste into another taste, so then Rashi says, throughout the Torah, we always say shishim. Chutz mi'chametz. Rashi notes that there's a notable exception, and that it's chametz. When it comes to chametz, even when it's min b'shein amino, so there's no bitul as it relates to chametz. Of a min b'mino, and then Rashi says like this, what if it's min b'mino? What if it's not dissimilar? What if the tastes are similar? And one gets important to another. Mukminim b'psachim ha'uchasa b'mashu kirav. So Rashi over here writes, now this happens to be the second time we saw Rashi do this, that when it comes to a case of min b'mino, Rashi says there's never bitul. Never bitul. Rashi says, "V'tam mevishum t'chol yisrim shibatar min b'mino b'mashu kerav v'chametz gzereshen amino atumino." Okay, and when it comes to chametz, we're machmer both on min b'mino and min b'shein amino. But Rashi says that when it comes to min b'mino, there is no bitul, as per the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed, and that's Rav's opinion over there. The other Rishonim, you could take a look at the Gemara in Pesachim over there, don't agree with Rashi, they say by Min Bemino, it's also Batal, Min HaTorah, it's Batal Berov, Min Darabban, it's Batal Beshisha, but the, and how to learn the Gemara in Pesachim over there, so when we go back to Pesachim, so we'll learn it once again. But in the meantime, however, Rashi over here has written now, and if I'm right, hopefully I am, second time now in the Masechta, that when it comes to Min Bimino, so there is no, there's never Bittul. Okay. We are now up to the Mishnah, when Samach Tesam and Aleph, we are starting now the next Mishnah, and so we are going to leave the world of Nosin Tam of Gam, that's the end of that Sugya, and we're going to talk about basically the idea of Yosef and Nechnas.
That there's no
cancellation.
Yeah, that's
me, the
Rabban, right? And that's
all right.
It should.
You mean within Shitas Rashi? I don't know. It sounds.
It's a Bittul Berov.
I understand. Right. Why by Rashi is there no Bittul by Min Bimino? Meaning, there is an opinion in the Gemara, right? By the Dam of Yom Kippur, that when one blood goes into another, even though the other one has significantly more, so the Torah says that it's still the blood of the lesser amount is still there, it's still recognized. So that sounds like the Gemara, right? The two bloods of Yom Kippur. That sounds like it's a drashim and a Torah. Right, that's right. That's right. That's another right. So that sounds like Min Bimino is not batal even on a Torah level. Okay. We're now entering the world of Yosef and Nechnas. The idea is very simple. In other words, that you can leave wine unattended, but and there could be a guy there in the room. But the basic idea, we're going to see this idea repeated four times over in the Mishnah. But as long as he doesn't know when you're coming back, so and there's mirsus, and there's always that concern that he could be caught at any point in time. So therefore, you can be rest assured that the wine was not handled by him, and it was not agitated by him, and the wine is going to be mutter. The wine is not going to be aser. Okay, that's the basic idea. I know we've seen versions of this idea before, but the Mishnah here discusses it straight out. We'll discuss. The Mishnah is going to discuss. Ovi kochav shayam ma'avir im Yisrael kade yayin mimakum l'makum. So here, the first incident of the Mishnah, there are four altogether. Is where the wine is being transported by the guy from one place to another. Over here, the barrels of wine are sealed, and he's not touching the actual wine itself. He's not pouring the wine. We discussed that earlier. That's what's called kawach. He's just simply moving the barrels from one place to another. So imhaya becheskas hamishtamer mutter. So as long as it's becheskas hamishtamer, there's an assumption of guardianship. I know those are very vague terms, and we're going to discuss that better in just a moment. So then, it's going to be mutter. But imo diashu maflig. So kadesh yistom v'yistom v'yigov. So, but let's say you tell the guy, look, I'm going to be far away. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have plenty of time alone with that barrel. Okay, it's not the best advice, but this is what you tell him. So now, if you're away for the amount of time that he could bore a hole into the barrel and then seal the hole. And allow for that seal to dry, so then the barrels are going to be also. Meaning, basically, he can take a little bit of the wine and make it so that it does not look like he took from it. Now, Rishim and Gamliel Amr Kad Kadeshi Yiftach is a chavis vigo vitigo. Now, Rishim and Gamliel over here gives another shear because there's no way the guy's going to bore a hole into the barrel, seal it, and hope to God that the owner of the barrel doesn't notice there's a hole in the barrel. So Rashi Megamil says, no, if he wants to really go undetected, he's going to take off the whole lid and then reseal the whole lid. That way he'll be able to get to the wine and it will have gone unnoticed. This takes a longer period of time. The Gemara does not speak in terms of time interval, in terms of minutes and hours, but whatever the shear is for the amount of time it takes off the whole lid and to replace the whole lid and to reseal the whole lid, Rashi Megamil says that's the shear in which the wine then becomes aser. what exactly does the Gemara mean when it says imaya becheskas mishtamer? So Rashi says mefarim b'shibu Gemara shafapi sheiflig yisrael min avikochavim mil imlo hodiyu shu maflig muter de mirsas avikochavim kol shaita hashtiasi. So Rashi writes what I know I said in the introduction, but Rashi writes that look, even if you go away for one mil, but you didn't tell him for how long you're going for. So he doesn't know when you're coming back. Under those circumstances, there's mirsus. He has that concern that you may come back at any point in time, and therefore you can rest assured that he didn't open the barrel. Set case number two of the Mishnah. Minich yenu bekarono b'sfin of alochlo bekapandria. Nichnas l'medina v'rachatz mutter. Imodiyah shumafli kadei shiistam v'yistam v'yigo v'rabishem v'gamlil amr kadei shiiftach esachavitz v'yigo v'tigov. So the second case of the Mishnah, more or less identical to the first case, but over here we have the wine on either a wagon or we have it on the boat. And what happened was is that the owner took a kapandria, he took a shortcut. And as long as he doesn't let the person know, hey, you don't know when I'm coming back, I can come back at any point in time, so once again, that's okay. But if he tells the guy, look, you're gonna go with the wagon, you're gonna go with the boat, and I'm gonna be far away, so again, how long is he going to be gone for in order for the wine now to become usser? So again, either the shear of boring a hole, or Shimon Gamliel says to remove the whole top and to replace the whole top. Case number three of the Mishnah. Let's say you leave the guy alone in the store. Now you're coming and going in the store, but at unannounced times, so then it's going to be mutter. I'm sorry, Kadesh Yistom. The Yistom, the Yigov, Rashim Gamliel Amer Kadesh Yiftech as a Chavis, the Yigov, the Tigov. But what, let's say you're telling the guy in the store, look, I'm going to be gone for some time now, and I'll be back an hour from now, or 2 hours from now. So again, how long is it now going to take him to try to get into the barrel and into the wine and go unnoticed, undetected? So either the first year of the Tanakama, just to put a hole in and to plug the hole, or according to Rashim Gamliel, to take off the whole lid and to replace the whole lid. That was case number three. You're probably wondering why all these cases are pretty much the same with one another. What's its yichusa? And if you've been around the daf long enough, you know the Gemara is going to ask that question. Haya ochel imo al hashochan miyinech leginem al hashochan v'lagin al hadulviki. Fourth case in the Mishnah over here. So we're at the same table together, and we're on the table together, and there are bottles of wine on the table. And there are also bottles on the dulbaki. Dulbaki, probably either the counter or maybe the cabinets. But v'hinicha v'yasa ma she'al ha'shochan aser she'al ha'dulbaki muter. Now you leave the table. Now over here, if these aren't barrels of wine, these don't need to be opened and resealed. In other words, we're talking about flasks of bottles that are on the table. So you walk out and you leave an open bottle on the table, so chances are is that he drank from it. So therefore it's going to be aser. However, that which is in the cabinet, that's going to be mutter. In other words, for him to have the chutzpah to take from the bottles of wine on the table, okay, that doesn't take a lot of chutzpah. But for him to go into the cabinet, take from the cabinet, okay, that takes a little more chutzpah, and the Mishnah assumes that that would be mutter. V'im amar lo, let me just finish the Mishnah's point. V'im amar lo havi mazik v'shosik afsha al hadovaki aser. Now, if you give the guy an invitation, hey, you know what? Enjoy. Help yourself. So not only is the wine on the table going to be aser, but now even the wine in the cabinets, meaning you basically took away any concern that he has, any fear that he has. So then even in the cabinet's going to be aser as well. Chavios, now what about the barrels? Psuchos asuros, meaning the open barrels are going to be aser because he's going to help himself to the open barrels. Stumos mutaros, kidei shiyiftach v'yigov v'tigov. And at what point in time are those closed barrels going to be under concern that maybe he went in, he tampered with the closed barrels? So the amount of time there for him to open the lid, close the lid and reseal it, having gone undetected. Yeah.
Why is you
dining
with an
andre
in the first place?
Right. In other words, right. The
was to prevent that. Right?
Correct. And what are you doing? Inviting him to? I agree. I totally agree. And on top of that, now you're inviting him to take some of the wine, meaning.
And also shaking.
Yeah. You're right.
Shaking it is right.
Pouring it, we said, is a koach. Shaking it while it's still sealed. The Gemara earlier said it's not a concern. Right. Agreed. Okay.
Why in the last case nobody else with
The Gemara's gonna make that observation. That's good. That's very good. Okay. Hey Chidami, we're now in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara starts off as follows. Hey Chidami, becheskas and mishtamer So can we get a better idea of what this idea is? Cheskas HaMishtamer? Now I know I read the Rashi back in the Mishnah, but here the Gemara discusses. Kititanya. Harisha Yechamar Rapol Avtoanim Taros Afilu Hiflik Mehem Yosem Mimil. Right, so Rashi earlier quoted a mill. Right, he was borrowing the language of the Gemara over here. So you're handling taharos, and here it's not even, you're not even walking with a guy, by the way. Over here, in other words, your workers happen to be amaratzim. Generally speaking, people are not careful about tumah tahara. But in other words, he knows he's working for you, and he knows that this is important to you. In other words, so you are now telling him, look, we're going to go, we're going to transport, and I want this to remain in the state of tahara. So you don't have to be there all the time. You could be some ways away. You can even be a mill away. But as long as he doesn't know when you're coming back, you can rest assured that your whatever you're transporting is still going to be a state of tahara. Hifik lam yosem mil taharos of taharos. V'imamar lam l'chuv ani b'acharechem. But let's say you tell the amaratzim workers, look, you go ahead, and I'll catch up to you. Right? So now he knows that he's going to be sometime along with the food. So once it escapes your view, and now he has a comfort that he's at some distance from you, so at that point in time, now we no longer can assume that the food is in a state of tahara. So the Gemara says, now in the Reisha, so how do we know that he wasn't metame your food? It's very simple, says the Gemara. Because before you went on the journey, you said to your Amaratzim workers, you said, look, you guys don't care about Tumah Tahara, I get it, but I need help. So here's what we're all going to do. We're all going to go to the mikvah, we're all going to meet Matara ourselves, and I understand, Tumas Mace is not that easy. In other words, if we're talking about Tumas Mace, so it's more of a process. But let's say we're not worried about Tumas Mace, we're just worried about Zav, Balkeri, you know, Negiah Besheret, you know, the lighter forms of tumah, so to say. So we're all going to go to the mikvah, and then tomorrow we're going to transport it. So fine. So in other words, so clearly the workers know, oh, he cares about tumah tahara. So once they understand that, so as long as they have a concern that they're going to be, they could be watched at any point in time, and they could be observed at any point in time, so then even if they and the food has left your site for a little bit of time, but they know that you want it to remain in a state of tahara. They also don't know when you're going to be popping in. That's why it's tahara. So the Gemara says, "Yihachi seifa nami, ein amaharitz makbid al maga chavero." So the Gemara says, "Look, in the seifa as well, meaning when they know that they're a safe distance from you, but they also know that you want the food to remain in a state of tahara. So what are we worried about in the seifa? Where you clearly tell them, hey, you guys go ahead, and I'll catch up to you." And so they know now that they're at a safe distance, but at the same time, they also know, and not only do they know, that you actually told them in the mikvah. So what's the concern? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the concern is. Concern is that they run into some of their friends, and even though they're in a state of tahara, but their friends are not in a state of tahara, and their friends now, here, you want to see what we're carrying? Sure. Well, we'll show you. In fact, you want to handle it? That's also fine. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, that's true. If they're not worried about the friends touching the food, so what about the Reisha? Afila Reisha Nami Nema Hachi Amarava Biva Lehem Derech HaKalton. So the Gemara says, no, because in the Reisha, you can pop in at any time, and you can pop in at any time, Derech HaKalton. Take a look at the top Rashi. Kishabal Baisi Acholavo Derech HaKalton Demirsus Hashtahasi. Meaning, we're not talking about a straight path, and we're not talking about where distance was created. We're talking about somewhat of a circuitous route, and basically, the owner can pop in at any time through a corner, and so therefore they're always under constant concern that hey, the owner may pop in at any point in time, and if they see us allowing our friends to handle the food, we're going to get fired. We're not going to get paid. So there's no concern. However, in the Sefer says the Gemara, where basically the owner says to the workers, you guys go ahead. And I'm going to catch up to you. So now they have smichus dais. They have a certain amount of confidence that they're going to be unobserved for at least the next little while. So here the Gemara now wonders. So many cases of the Mishnah. Quite frankly, three cases. The first three cases of the Mishnah are all repeat performances of one another. Why do I need all three cases of the Mishnah? The fourth case is slightly different because we're at the dinner table. But in the first three cases where you have workers working for you. If we're talking about where we're just simply walking together, so there's a concern that the owner can see me at any point in time. So, but if we're talking about a wagon, we're talking about a boat, and right now the worker's not on the boat with us, so then it may give them a level of comfort and confidence that, hey, no one's going to watch us right now. And still, when you're in a boat or when you're in a wagon, so you could be spotted by the owner. Owner, all he has to do is just get a good view from a height, and the owner can see you. However, if we're in the store, so now we're in a contained area, and the owner's not here right now, so let me just close the door, and I'll do whatever I want to do with the wine. So Kamash Malan, no, as long as the owner has the opportunity, the ability to walk in at any point in time, there's also mirsus there as well. Now, here the Gemara has an extraordinarily technical discussion regarding the actual lid itself. Meaning, what does the lid need to be made of? Remember now in the Mishnah, how long do you have to be away from the barrel in order to be concerned that he's going to tamper with the barrel? So there were two opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion is to bore a hole in it and to seal the hole that was created. And the other opinion was to take off the whole lid. The Gemara says that as far as that machlokus is concerned, that's only when it's made up of plaster. But if it's made up of clay, devarakol, kidei shiftach v'yigov, v'yigov. But when we're talking about clay, so there, boring a hole in it is always going to be detected. And there, everyone's in agreement that he's going to need to rip off the whole cover and to reseal the whole cover. And there's no machlokus in the Mishnah. Meisvei, the Gemara challenge is based on the following braisa. Amr Shimon Gamliel Chachamim. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, there's no way he's going to bore a hole in it, because it can be detected from both sides, both from the top and from the bottom. Now, if we're talking about clay, so clay, in fact, now you'll forgive me, by the way, I don't understand the seal so well, I don't understand the metzius of the seal so well, but still, well, the Gemara's assumption is, you know, and I'll just work with the assumption that if we're talking about clay, so then I totally understand. In other words, a hole can be detected both from the top and the bottom. Elayemar bishal sid, but if we're talking about plaster, machlok is bishal malamata yedia, alamala halo yedia. But if we're talking about plaster, so you can bore a hole and you can cover your tracks very easily on the top. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, hu delo yada mai kamar rabbanan. The Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he was debating with the Chachamim, didn't fully understand the Shita of the Chachamim. So, v'hachi kamalu, I b'shal tit kamrito, if you're talking about plaster, sisumonikar, be'malamala, be'malamata. If we're talking about clay, so that can be detected both on the top and the bottom. V'b'shal sit kamriso, and if we're talking about plaster, nihid lamala lo yadi, lamate mia yadi. Yeah, it's true that you can cover your tracks from the top of the lid, but from underneath, however, it's detectable. And the Chacham's counter argument is: look, it can be detected from the top, and they're not going to bother inspecting the bottom of the lid. Or maybe sometimes, even as you are resealing the plaster, so sometimes the finish on the bottom will be a smooth finish. And maybe it's undetectable both on the top and on the bottom as well. Now the Gemara says, in this machlokus in the Mishnah, how long do you have to be gone for? And you're telling him, I'm going to be gone for this period of time. How long do you have to be gone for in order to be concerned about tampering? And the Gemara says, this year is going to be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The time it takes to rip off the whole lid and to replace the whole lid, not just simply boring a hole into the top of the lid. How do I know that? Because of the last case of the Mishnah. What was the last case of the Mishnah? If you're leaving wine on the table and wine in the cabinet, so the wine left on the table is aser, wine in the cabinet's mutter, the imam lo have mazuk v'shosa afshal adubaki aser, and then when you give the guy permission, go ahead, take some wine for yourself, So now the wine, both on the table and in the cabinet, are both going to be asur. And then, what about the barrels of wine? Chavios pesuchos asuros, open barrels of wine are going to be asur. Sesumos mutaros. If those sealed barrels of wine, even though you gave permission to the guy to help himself, but he's not going to open up a sealed barrel of wine. Unless, kedesh yiftach v'igo fatigov, unless he's away for the amount, unless the Jew is away for the amount of time that it would take for him to open up the entire lid and reseal the entire lid. Ah, so you see in the Mishnah over there, the last case in the Mishnah takes on the position of Rishon Gamliel. Pshita ma'udetem akula Rishon Gamliel katanila kamash malan. So the Gemara says now, isn't that obvious? Meaning, what have we just learned together? The halacha falls like Rishon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, no, I might have thought that the entirety is going like Rishon Gamliel. And the Gemara says, no, the entirety is not going like Rishon Gamliel. Meaning that in the other cases, the Chachamim argue on Rishon Gamliel. And yet, the halacha is going here like Rishon Gamliel. Okay, so we'll pause over here. We'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. So let's just quickly recap. An end of the Gemara's discussion today of Nosan Tam of Gam. The Gemara's conclusion, Nosan Tam of Gam is Mutter. Rav's Chumra by the rat falling into the beer. The Gemara has a difficult time understanding that. The rat falling into vinegar. Perhaps it's different if the rat falls apart into different pieces. And now we're not just talking about the taste of the rat, but we're talking about actual pieces of the rat as well. A big kiddush on Rashi's part today that Rashi says the pieces of the rat are going to be asr ba'achila, even at the size of an adasha. Rashi takes the shear of tumah and moves it over to the isra of achila. It's a chiddush on Rashi's part. The Gemara suggests that there may be vary shiurim when it comes to taste, like when a rat in vinegar per se. But the Gemara ends up concluding that when we're talking about tam, the shear, the ratio is going to be 1 to 60. That's a rule throughout Shas. And the Gemara's conclusion is v'chein kol isurim shebat Torah. Rashi over here writes, another big chiddush on Rashi's part today, is that when it comes to min v'sheino mino, it's 1 to 60. When it's min b'mino, Rashi says there's never bittul. Okay, that's Rashi Shita. The Bali Atosos disagree, the halacha doesn't fall like Rashi. And then the rest of today's daf, which started with the Mishnah on Samach Tes, was the question of Yotze v'nichnas. When you are letting a non-Jew alone with your wine and he's a worker for you, so if you're in and out and do not tell him at what points you're coming in and out, you could be even a mile away, but still, as long as he doesn't know this and as long as he is not expecting when you're returning, so then this is going to create a mirsus and the wine is all going to be kosher. If, however, you're letting him know that you're going to be away for some time, so how much time, machlok is in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rishon Gamliel, so then, assuming that you're gone for that period of time, the wine now is going to be asur. And the Gemara concluded the one, why do I need so many cases in the Mishnah? The Gemara gave an explanation for that. And two, the Gemara said the halacha is like Rishon Gamliel. It's the amount of time for him to remove the entire lid and to reseal the entire lid.